Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of February 16, 2024. This week we pray for all Christians who live busy and harried lives that during this season they may take time for reflection, prayer, and study in God's Word, and that this season would bring many to Christ, here and abroad, worshiping Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our first reading is from Joel chapter 2. Yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry, but as servants of God we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. And the reading for our discussion is from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Christ is risen, and this is the season of Lent, where we remember Christ's road to the cross. Today I want to speak about treasures in heaven. Years ago, outside of running on the cross-country team for my high school, I would sometimes run out of season with other runners, with other coaches and their teams, and I would hear different stories that fellow runners would tell about their experiences. And I got to experience my own running from a little different perspective. One of the arts that I never mastered in my running was the art of pace. If I had learned the art of pace, of tempo, probably would have changed my running dramatically. But I remember one summer race. That is where today's technology, iPhones and watches, could have really made a difference for me all those years ago. But those things did not exist. Our team would often run with the coach of Central Catholic and his team. Their coach, Steve, otherwise worked at the Purdue Exponent, but he was a diehard, lifelong runner, and he knew the ins and outs of running at a particular pace. In fact, he would go out and settle into what seemed like a relatively slow pace. In my typical high school fashion, when the race began, I ran out hard, and then at a certain point, within the first 2 miles of a 4 mile race, I began to slow down a bit. And so while my first mile was quite fast, the second, third, and fourth miles progressively slowed, while Steve maintained the pace at which he ran his first mile all through the race, resulting in a much faster overall race. The wisdom of the older guys will school you sometimes. I remember another story about a runner. I think this one came from my own coach, but he told me about a runner that was always putting on miles. He was always running, but his training was never a quality kind of training. His training wasn't disciplined, and so I'm sure the point was his racing wasn't very good either. Are your ways disciplined and paced, or are you disorganized and disheveled? Have you ever encountered someone in your life that when you tried to set up something with them, they complained that they didn't have any time? I understand that a person can have a really busy calendar, but there are always ways of making more time if you really want it or need it. A person can clear his calendar. A person can take a day. Certainly, there are times where a sickness or an injury can end up clearing the calendar. Whatever you had planned that day is going to disappear or be rescheduled. If you want time, you can find it. What it comes down to is always a matter of priorities. If something is a priority for you, you will make time for it. So let me ask this question, or a number of questions. Do you have time for prayer? Do you have time for reading your Bible? For doing devotions? Attending a service? Visiting someone who needs your care? Spending time in fellowship with fellow believers? If something becomes a priority for you, you will make time for it. Our lesson from Matthew that we just read a few moments ago is talking about spiritual discipline. The first part is about making a show in front of other people. Jesus says that the hypocrites make a show of their righteousness in order to be praised by others. The priority of the hypocrite is to receive praise in the eyes of others. We certainly don't want to look bad in front of others. Yet, our Father wants us to practice our good deeds in secret. If we give to the needy, if we give to our church, we are not to trumpet these things in order to be praised. In the same respect, Jesus commends us to pray not to get the attention and praises of others, but to pray in private. In Jesus' world, Pharisees and others were trying to impress each other, but what they were doing was not God-pleasing. It was people-pleasing. We should not be focused on what will please people, but focused on what is good and right and true. Being faithful to our calling can definitely put us at odds with what will please people. If you've ever been a coach or been on a team, you may have seen favoritism. Have you ever seen a situation where the coach's son gets more minutes or gets to start, even though he may not be as good as some of the other options that stay on the bench to the detriment of the team? The favoritism might have pleased the coach, but may have been detrimental to everybody else. The mother of James and John came to Jesus asking that one would sit at his right hand and the other at his left in the kingdom. The other disciples were indignant at the request. Jesus said this was not his to grant. What was right in God's greater plans had to supersede human egos, plans, and desires. That little passage was from Matthew chapter 20. So it is, this should be the way we are thinking about our own lives. Do our plans revolve around worldly ambitions, constantly cramming our days and our lives with what will please people? Or are our lives disciplined, balanced, paced, with our minds set on God and the things of God? Some of the seasons of our lives can get undisciplined and disorganized. I know that I've experienced this in my own life. Lent is a time to recenter. You've probably seen it on a mapping app. You can start looking around at an area on the map, but you lose where you are. You can press a button that says recenter. Then everything makes sense again. Sometimes we truly need to recenter our lives, refocus on what is important. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. And if you go back and read that chapter, every matter is indeed covered. Perhaps on Ash Wednesday, you received ashes upon your forehead. The pastor took ashes, made the sign of the cross on your forehead, and said, "Dust you are, to dust you shall return." It is a stark reminder that life is transient. It's not a permanent thing. But neither are the difficult days, the troubling and troublesome things, the unpleasant things, the difficult things and cares of our lives. Have you ever noticed that some folks' lives are full of unnecessary drama? To use our previous analogy, when you run in the race of life constantly at a hurried and erratic pace, and you fill your days with junk running, life can get disorderly, disorganized, and you can become disheveled. This is a good season to reassess, to unclutter your life, to make life simpler, to set your mind on the things of God and your heart upon the Savior's work. Whatever you are working for otherwise, there is not a thing that you can take with you. Set your mind on Christ and salvation in Him. And we close with the words of Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Will you pray with me? Lord, Heavenly Father, in this season, help me to recenter life upon your word, upon your ways, upon the life of faith and trust in you. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for those who look to you for healing in body, mind, and spirit. Lord, let your healing hand be upon them, comfort them, and care for them. Be with those who mourn. Be with those for whom death draws near. Lord, we pray that you'd be with those who are rehabilitating. We pray that you would restore them, that you would help them through the times to come, and that you would relieve them of pain. Lord, be with all Christians who live busy and harried lives, that during this season they may take time for reflection, prayer, and study in your word, and that this season would bring many to your Son, Jesus Christ, here and abroad, worshiping you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. All of our verses, all of our scriptures, come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Savior, when in dust to thee, though we bow the adoring knee, when repentant to the skies, scarce we lift our weeping eyes, O by all thy suffered once for us below, bending from thy throne on high, hear our penitential cry. By thy helpless infant years, by thy life of wanton tears, by thy days of deep distress, in the savage wilderness, by thy dread mysterious hour of the insulting tempter's power, turn, O turn a favoring eye, hear our penitential cry. By thine hour of dire despair, by thine agony of prayer, by the cross, the nail, the thorn, piercing spear and torturing scorn, by the gloom that veiled the skies, o'er the dreadful sacrifice, listen to our humble sigh, hear our penitential cry. By thy deep expiring groan, by the sad sepulchral stone, by the vault whose dark abode held in vain the rising God, O from earth to heaven restored, mighty re-ascended Lord, Then